Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear and
Travis Johnson
for the Rant of a Free Trapper. We got a lot of good response from the last one we did, so I'm going to ratchet this up a little bit. Travis has somewhat of an idea on one of the three things we're going to talk about, and he's not happy. But he's being a good sport, and I want him to be honest. You're an honest person, right?
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay, so I want you to be
honest.
Depending
on what we're talking about, of course.
Well, I'm not going to ask you anything that's embarrassing. How about that?
Okay.
Too embarrassing.
I got you.
Okay. So, kind of the rant, or just the way of thinking, is can you believe what you've always been told?
Lord, no.
Why do you say that?
I mean, get on Wikipedia. You'll find out that, you know, Abraham Lincoln was the king, the best president ever, but not so much in my mind.
Well, but, besides a feeling, what proof do you have to know that Abraham Lincoln was not the best president?
Well, I don't. I wouldn't.
I mean, I agree. I think he brought America to what it is today.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. But my premise is you hear stuff all the time, and my argument is you can't take anybody's word for it except yourself.
Yeah.
But you got to do it with analytics. You got to do it with data. You got to do it without emotion. Feels, thinks, wants, stuff like that. Their IQ and IQ has no, I mean, their emotions and emotions have no IQ.
That's why I suck at debating, because I'm too opinionated. Well, Someone says that Donald Trump's a terrible president, I'm going off on him.
But if you learn to think for yourself, and that's part of what we've been doing with Trapping Radio for I don't know how long. You learn to think for yourself, you start looking at things a little bit different, but you got to have a reason why. So I'm going to pick three topics that we're going to talk about, and most people are going to be shocked on all three when they hear my argument why people believe stuff, because they've heard it their whole life, and it's kind of a... It's a cultural tribal thing that keeps people from being as intelligent as I think they can be. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The first question I have for you is, what is the purpose of the USDA?
The USDA.
What is the official government real world reason for the USDA? Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
What do you think that their purpose is?
To make money.
Well, no, not farmers. This is a government agency. They pass all kind of laws. They have your 4-H. Did you have 4-H?
Yeah.
They did the 4-H. They do all that. But what do you think their true purpose is?
I don't know.
Well, I would say it's not a trick question. I'm not trying to trick you. Most people would think that they're there to promote young farmers and farmers so they make more money, so they grow more food, so we feed the world, and all that.
I was going to say feed the world, but I don't really believe that too much.
Well, yeah, but you need to know why. But if you're thinking it's really not to feed the world, what do you think the policy is? Now, think about our society. Think about any civilization. What would be their main function?
Well, they don't want to have any competition. So, wouldn't they want to be, like, trying to get everybody convenient to come to them?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're definitely a monopoly in the
yeah.
in the part of what they do. But, I mean, like, if I was going to have a permaculture class on my farm, I was going to teach permaculture, what do you think the reason... Besides, I'm hoping I can generate some money. What do you think my intention is for teaching other people permaculture?
So that they can go out and grow their own food and enjoy what they're doing.
And you know me well enough to know that's exactly what my intention would be, to do that. Okay, so I'm getting ready to tell you what the purpose, according to the USDA, is, which you're not going to see this on a website somewhere. But and I don't think you know who this is, but some of the people listening do. Joe Salatin, have you ever heard of him?
No.
He's a farmer, Polyface Farms out of Virginia. He's one of the leaders in showing farmers how they actually make money, you know, not the standard way of doing it. He goes all over the world speaking. He's got a tremendous base on education, and he gets to go to a lot of government functions because they have to, the USDA, they have these functions to get input from the farmers on how the USDA should do what they should do. So I'm going to read a little bit of something, and I'm going to see if anything here catches your attention. Okay, this is from Joe Salatin himself, and this was almost scrubbed completely offline several times. This was Joe Salatin goes to Washington for a USDA meeting, and there's all of his Virginia buddies there, Virginia Agriculture, Farm Bureau, Agriculture Council, the Forestry, the Poultry Federation, the Cattlemen's Association, Deans of Virginia Tech and Virginia State. So they're all of these, you know, big guys in there. Yeah. It was the first meeting of its kind I've ever attended that offered no water. The only drink to drink was soft drinks. Lunch was served in styrofoam. Now, he's an environmentalist now, so he's talking about what they ate, and he thought it was so weird because there was no agriculture stuff done there, just to try to give a little premise. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me see how I can start this. Terry, I wish I could pronounce this dude's name. It's MCAULIFFE Love. He showed up this first time ever. Rural America, this is what he says. Rural America lost population in real numbers. Not as a percentage, but in real numbers. It's down to 16% of the total population. They're talking about rural agriculture, like around here. Mm-hmm. The farm boys, your friends.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking he's going to say, this is Joel talking, I'm sitting here thinking he's going to say, we need the numbers to go up so we have more people to love and steward the landscape, more people to care for earthworms, more people to grow food and fiber. So he's talking about farmers. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the shoe to drop? The infamy. What could the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, that's the highest dude up there, at the high strategic planning session in our land, be challenged by other leaders to change his figure to get people in rural America to encourage farmers, to help more farmers get started? That's what he thinks is going to happen. Now, this is Joel again saying, why do I go to bed at night trying to figure out how to increase farmers? How do the president and other cabinet members view their roles as nation's leading farmer czar? You know what a czar is, right?
No, not at all.
It's kind of like he's over the department, he's like a dictator.
Oh.
He doesn't even have to go through Congress a lot of times to pass laws. He can just pass them.
Wow.
What could be the most important contribution that increases farmers? What could they offer the nation? Better food, better soil development, better care of animals, better care of plants. Are you ready? Here's the answer. Although rural America has only 16% of the population, it gives, say what? You mean when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, the bottom line, and you all have your, man, he's writing weird. The whole reason for increasing the farms is to produce cannon fodder for the American imperial might. He said, this is the head of the USDA, the secretary of the USDA. Rural kids grow up with a sense of wanting to give something back. And if we lose that value system, we lose our military might. The most important thing that the Secretary of Agriculture said about farmers and their kids is we need them because they're the only ones that's going to join the military.
Wow. That's kind of a...
That's not at all what you thought.
That's kind of a slap to the face to a farmer.
I think it is.
I mean...
Yeah. I mean, I really do. And it's quoted from him. Now, what Joel did is he put this out, what I pulled offline for you. And the USDA almost tried to put him in jail over this.
Wow.
Because they didn't want this being out. See, that's what I'm saying. When people think they know what something is and they don't do any research or look into it, you really don't know.
Yeah.
So what the USDA is saying is we need rural people with a work ethic that believe in structure, that are taught patriotism. Because if you think about the hood, is that being taught there?
Not at all.
Not if, it, you know.
You're stepping on the flag.
Yeah, some little white hipster somewhere in some urban area, he's not getting taught that. So all the programs in the schools are to get kids involved to get the end result, which is the military. Because he says without the military, there won't be one. That's a different way of looking at the Department of Agriculture, isn't it? Because you would think it was about food. I would. I mean,
if I was a farmer, I'd rebel against them.
Well, I mean, that's just...
The farmers will rise again.
That's just, you know, one of those things that when people come across, I think, personally, they hear something like that and they don't want to believe it, so they don't. Yeah,
that's about how I am. That's kind of crazy. I can't believe that somebody else would think that low.
But it's been that way for a long time. I mean, military needs a certain type of person.
Yeah.
And that's what the majority of the military is. All
farmers?
Yeah. I mean, since World War II especially, because everybody was farmers then.
Well, you know who they draft first, don't you? Southern boys.
Well, I guess the black people would argue with you on that.
Oh, well, yeah.
But
that could be true.
So, now the other thing, do you know what a hunter-gatherer is?
Hunter who kills his meat, takes it home, and cooks it.
Historically, do you know what a hunter-gatherer is?
Kills the meat, takes it home, and eat it.
Okay. Hunter-gatherer, historically. Well, let me ask you this a different way. 4,000 years ago, did people live longer then, or do we live longer now?
I don't know. I've heard that like in the 1800s, in the Wild West days, where they slept on the ground and stuff, they lived. They didn't live as long as we do today because they worked themselves to death.
Now, how old do you think that is?
Probably 40s, mid 40s, and they died.
See, that's interesting. Okay, a hunter-gatherer is what the original humans that they were in tribes. They hunted buffalo and elk and deer, and they picked stuff off trees. Kind of think of like an Indian, but think ancient, way before the Indians.
In the Viking days.
Before that.
Wow.
Now.
Hold up here. They hunted in England?
Yeah, there used to be a lot of animals in England.
Now I...
Before the socialists got a hold of it, yeah. And the you know, the royal family did their thing to it, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the way people lived. You didn't have cities. The idea of a city or a village didn't make sense because the animals moved and the seasons moved, so you had to move with them. But today, everybody hears, if you go online today, that we live longer today than we did as hunter-gatherers. And I guarantee you, almost everybody that's listening to this...
I would die.
...knows that's true. They know it's true.
I mean, I would think that we live longer today because, I mean, we sleep on mattresses and, I mean, yeah, there's some hardworking people out there, but, I mean, we work 8 to 10 hours a day, humans do nowadays. Back in the day, they were working constantly, so, but, you know.
Well, the reason I'm bringing this up, because I think it's something people would find interesting. We today are told, if you look it up when we get done with this, if you look it up, what the average age today is and what the average age in the 1800s or 2000 BC.
Yeah.
And you're going to find it. See, you've already been told this information, but I don't think it registered, but you've been told it enough that it does. Between 40 and 45 was the life expectancy of a hunter-gatherer, someone in the medieval times, this, that, and the other. But is it true? See, I think that's the more important part. Is it true?
I don't know. I wouldn't alive.
Okay. So that's a good point. So
that's the way I look at a lot of things.
So looking at this critically, do you think there's ways that when they get a skull from a hunter-gatherer from, you know, that's they find somewhere in a cave somewhere, and they can, you know, do the carbon base to get it kind of where it is, and its tools and its clothes and all that. There has to be a way that they figure out the date, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the way they did that is by your wisdom teeth. Your wisdom teeth on a normal person does not come fully in until you're the age of 35.
Holy cow.
Even today, that hadn't changed.
How come they get them cut out? Like, a bunch of my buddies have had theirs cut out when they was in high school and stuff like that. I'm 20 and mine are just now starting to pop up. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and they'll be fully in. I still have two of mine, but that's a whole different subject.
I got you.
Of why. But so that's how they figure out the age of people before we had written records.
Yeah.
Or if you find somebody that was in the Wild West that the Indians scalped or the bears ate or whatever, and you found the skull, you look at the wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
From about 15 to 35, every couple of years, on all humans, they come out more till they're full. Now, after 35, they can't tell from that skull if it's a 35-year-old or a 70-year-old. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, all through all the reading that anybody wants to do on do we live longer today or do we live longer than hunter-gatherers, they're going to say that between ages of 35 and 45, that's when it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the life was over because it was so hard and rough and we have it so good and our modern medicine is this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, medicine back in the day, they probably died of, mm-hmm. you know, a little flu. When today, a flu ain't nothing. You get a little bit of cough medicine and you die.
So from a critical thinking point, it makes sense that when someone tells you information, that you should be able to look at that data from a critical point of view, right? I mean, that makes sense. So we know that the teeth thing. So when you look at all the accounts of the people, the hunter-gatherers that's been found, they always say 35 to 40 that we know of, and after that we don't know. But when you look at all this paperwork, the highest age, because you can't tell after that date, is 35 to 45. So that's become our common way of looking at it, you know, of looking at the life age of a person. But it gets more interesting. When you look at skulls back then, or you look at written records from the medieval times or from the 1800s, do you know that what was kept were kids that died?
Why?
They kept a record.
They kept the record.
So if the mother died in pregnancy with the baby, that would be on record. If the kid was sick when it got older, because believe it or not, kids were not really considered humans or didn't have the same reverence that we have them today, because a lot of them, majority of them, were going to die before they got the age of manhood anyway. So you couldn't put, you just pumped them out and you hoped a few of them stuck. That was kind of
like beagles. Beagle puppies.
Exactly.
They come out and you just hope they live.
That's exactly the way it was.
Man, I'm glad. I always talk about, man, I wish I lived back in the old days. You know. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I live the day I do.
Right.
Yeah. I like the light.
Well, I'm glad I live today. Yeah. But they kept records of that. Now, when you look at the life expectancy in modern day America, do they keep up with babies that die at 1 year old?
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't.
What?
When they're doing, this is an interesting thing that I think, it's just a different way to look at things. When you look at statistics, you've got to have apples and apples and not apples and oranges. Back in the day, when a kid died, they kept a record. So that brought down the age. Today, we don't start till 15. So if you make it to 15 and to 80, well, you're 80 years old. But if you died at 12, you're not in the records.
I don't know about that. That's kind of...
On the life studies. Did they keep up with abortions back then?
There was no... They didn't have none of that.
Well, there was some.
No.
Yeah, there was.
They didn't have no needle to do whatever they did.
They used to do it with wire. But there was a few, but it wasn't as common. But see, today, we do not keep up with the abortion rate as far as the life expectancy. But do you see a problem with that? If you're keeping the kids that die 1,000 years ago, But you don't keep the kids that die now. Is that going to screw with the figures?
I reckon.
You reckon?
Yeah. I mean,
how do you figure it's not? How do you figure just reckon?
Well, yeah, I do think it's going to mess with the figures a bit.
Okay, just put it this way: if Tennessee was keeping up with life expectancy, and every single person that was a baby till dead is counted, and Georgia didn't count the abortions in the numbers, do you think there'd be a difference in the numbers?
Probably. I mean, there's young people who die, you know, every day. But
now, the other thing that I think is interesting, if you use some common sense with something like this, if they have all these skulls that they know are between 35 and 40 because of the wisdom teeth, and that's the latest they can date them, do you think that they all just died at 40 years in one day? Is that the way averages work?
No.
But see, we don't look at our data the same way. We don't go off of, you know, having, well, I think most people live to their 72 now or whatever it is. The whole reason I'm bringing this up is you can't trust half the stuff that most people believe. Because if you go home tonight, do this. Go home and ask your dad, do we live longer today, Dad?
He'll say, than
we did 3,000 years ago.
We've talked about it. He says, yeah.
Yeah, but if you start asking him questions, he has no idea why he believes that. He may have some, it's harder, you break a leg.
Well, I mean,
you're going to die. I mean, there
you
was...
Got, if you, I mean, I learned this from watching Westerns. If you got shot in the leg, I mean, they amputated that thing. There was no putting your hind end to sleep. You just...
Yeah.
With, you know, a saw.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a lot more brutal. There's no doubt.
But the human
species, I don't think there was any difference between the hunter-gatherer's age than ours.
I don't know. It's, you know, they talk about... I don't think that they had the diseases that we have today because, you know, I think more people, there becomes more disease. We're just like wildlife, the more animals and it, like there's 400 deer on this property just cooped up. There's going to be some diseases if you don't, you know, take some of them out.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to starve to death or something like that. But I think back then they didn't have as many people as today. And there wasn't as much diseases, but life was a whole lot harder back then. There's no doubt.
I mean,
there was no hot tub to get into, or heck, they didn't even have a bolt action rifle.
But the biologically, scientists think that a human on average lifespan is
62.
On an average, 62. Now, see, to me, the bigger question, Travis, is, are people living longer, or are we just keeping them alive longer? Because you can go in the hospital and hook you up to the machine for 10 years.
Huh?
Yeah, they can breathe for you. They can float, they can move your blood for you. They can keep your organs going for you.
Yeah, but like that costs a lot of money.
Oh, it does. But I mean, when you think about older people today, and you're thinking about life expectancy, are you just keeping them older or long? Are you keeping the older alive longer because of medical things? So the better question is, if you live to be 100 and you can't move, you can't think, you got Alzheimer's and you got all this other crazy stuff that we all have today, are you really living with a quality of life more today than you were back then?
I don't know.
You don't? Well, yeah. I mean, because I would say today, by looking at the numbers, I don't think that, I mean, just from looking at the statistics, when you really look at both sides, I don't think there's a difference.
Yeah, but I mean, in the Bible, like, people was older back then. So, I mean, that is kind of, you look back on that and you're thinking, you know, it says it in the Bible, you know, they were, you know, really, really old. And you look at today, and someone who reaches 100, you're doing pretty doggone good. So, I mean, I don't know.
Bringing the Bible into a logical, statistical talk. Yeah. See, you're going to have faith to believe that Abraham lived to be 300 or something or whatever it was that he lived. You got to have faith in that. And if there was some type of record, so we couldn't go back and look at his wisdom teeth because it's done at 35 to 40.
Yeah.
So we really wouldn't know. I mean, to me, it's just one of those things that right off the bat, when you ask anybody, do we live longer today? No one has looked at anything. We just all believe it. Which is going to come into the last one. I'm going to prove that this is true. My argument is, girls think they know what guys want in a girl. All right, stay with me. Don't run out. Now, let me ask you this, Travis.
Hold up here. Repeat the question.
Girls think they know what guys like in a girl. And I say they don't. And I think I can prove it with
the numbers. Well, I know guys don't, so we don't know what they want.
No, I'm not
we
saying...
We think we do,
I'm not saying you know what they want. That's a level of topic that we ain't getting into. Well, let me ask you a question. When a girl in high school, what does she think that she needs to look like for her to be attractive? Just attractive.
Skinny.
And?
Pretty. Pretty face, makeup and stuff.
Okay. Did you know girls that dieted in high school to stay skinny to be attractive?
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Do you know older women that stay skinny to try to be attractive?
That's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, they want to be attractive. There's nothing wrong with somebody wanting to be attractive. And no one gets up and goes, I'm going to do everything I can today just to be as ugly as I can.
That's true. I've never met somebody like that.
Go to all these exercise classes and makeup. All the hair salons, I mean, all that. So it's obvious.
The more makeup they put on, though, the more they're hiding. So.
Well, that could be true. That could be true.
That's something my daddy told me when I was little.
So I want you to think with me, because if you were to go ask 10 women from the age of 20 to 30, what is an attractive woman? What does a man see as an attractive woman? They're going to tell you what you said.
Oh, yeah.
Skinny, probably big boobs,
mm-hmm.
pretty face,
mm-hmm.
pretty
good
hair.
Smile, good hair.
Good looking teeth.
Yep.
Clothes. All the stuff that you see in America that women strive for. They starve themselves for it.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't into skeletons.
not all. I know, but not all. But, I mean, there is a problem with people get sick. I mean, where they can't eat anymore because they think they're fat. I mean, there's actual diseases on that. Find me 10 women in a random number that hadn't been on a diet in the last year. Find me 8 out of 10 women that, okay, better than that, 2 out of 10 women that hadn't been on a diet in the last 10 years. Most women I know have been on a diet their whole freaking life. Now, why is that? Because...
They want to look good. I mean...
Yeah, because...
They think they know what a man wants. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Some guys like, you know, bigger ladies. Some guys, you know, like this and that.
I agree. Have you ever heard of women... Think of TV. Think of models. Think of rock stars. Think of people that you went to school with. Think of people you know now. Has there been any women that you know of that goes, you know, I know there's some guys out there that like some bigger girls, so I'm just going to start eating some more McDonald's so I know I'm attracted to them. Have you ever heard say that?
No, I can't say that I have.
Me neither. Now, here's my proof. While women think they know, because if you ask any woman, they're going to tell you the first thing most older women are going to say is skinny and big boobs. Now, I'm going to use analytics. And this is where you're going to get a little uncomfortable, but it is not sexual.
I gotcha.
You can go to certain porn sites and look up the analytics. I learned this last week from a podcast. Some of it's very...
I was going to say, how did you know about this?
It was a podcast, and the guy was saying, because the woman was talking about she was always on a diet and this, that, and the other, and he brought this up, and it floored her. It literally floored her, because all these years she's starving to be attractive to men, because that's what she thought men wanted.
Yeah.
So you go look at analytics, and the website that does analytics, especially in porn, you have all these categories. Redhead, blonde-haired, all these different ones. In the top five across the board, there's two categories that men are choosing to watch. No one's making them watch it. They're not telling anybody they're watching it. It's what they really like to watch. One of them is BBW. Now, what do you think that is?
I told you about 20 minutes ago.
What do you think it is?
Big African-American woman.
Big black women.
Yes.
That's what you think.
Yes.
BBW is Big Beautiful Women.
Oh, wow.
It is the fastest growing category in porn. And these are big women. I'm talking bigger than me. Big women. Now keep in mind, men are choosing to look at this.
Well, I mean,
now all these men are looking at it, but no one's going around saying, I just really like big women. So,
I mean,
if you could have the patterns of men to see what they were really interested in attractively,
yeah,
and you saw that the fastest growing and in the top five all the time is big, beautiful women, but women are starving themselves a lot of times, always on a diet, always doing all this stuff to stay in shape, all that. Does it make sense at that point?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I don't understand why a lady would, you know, starve herself when...
I mean, it's always on a diet. I mean, yeah. Why do you think there's so many salads to eat at lunch at workplace? Don't want to be gaining weight, got to eat my salad. Now, there's some women that don't, but I mean a majority, because they're trying to... They think...
Yeah. Well, I mean, like...
That's what guys
there,
want.
There's some ladies out there who... They do it just because they want to be healthy, and there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But I mean, like, I've always said, you know, and this is
And I'm gonna blow your mind again. If you've got the cojones to find women that are between the age of 35 and 45.
That's a bit out of my range.
I know it is. Anybody listening? What do most men want in women if you ask a woman that age? You know what they're going to tell you?
A good-hearted lady.
No. You'll never hear that.
I don't know. I've been told a lot of times by old people. They tell me, like, if you chase after the pretty one...
Are you saying 35 to 45-year-old old people?
No. Anyway, like, I've been told that, you know, if you chase after a pretty one, they'll take your money and run. But if you look for that good-hearted one, personality's everything, you know, by the time you owe it anyway, it's all going to go away. She'll stick with you. Now, I mean...
I agree with that.
I don't know. I'm not that old.
Well, let me ask you, have you ever heard the term trading her in for a new model?
No. I've heard of trading in a, you know, an old Ford for a new Chevy, but...
Well, that's a common phrase I've heard hundreds of women say. Or, he divorced his wife and got a what?
A younger one?
Younger one.
Yeah.
If you were to go up to, like I said, just pick a number of 35 to 45-year-old women and ask them, what does a guy your age... What's the most important thing to them about a girl? What probably will get them going more? They're going to say a younger girl. Now, you may not know that because you're younger and y'all are all young at your age.
Yeah.
But anybody listening knows what I'm talking about. Women, I mean, that's on all the movies, the guy getting rid of the wife and going and getting the young girl.
Well, I mean, it kind of does. It ain't right by no means, but... I mean, it makes sense because, you know, younger ladies are usually more attractive, you know.
Okay. Okay, yeah. More attractive. That's interesting. In the top five on the porn sites, do you know what the other category is?
I don't know.
It is called a myth. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I know what that
is. Okay. That's an older, 35 to 45, sometimes 50-year-old lady. So when guys are choosing to watch what they want to watch, it's a 35 to 45-year-old woman, not the teen. So out of the top five categories.
You know, that may, most of those views may be from younger people, though.
It could be.
I mean, just the...
It could be.
You know.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't...
I don't know either.
All I did was verify, and that was it. I mean, I didn't go into it too deep. But to me, it's interesting that the two of the top five categories go against everything that women think that guys are looking for.
Oh, well.
So if you were a girl, wouldn't you find that information interesting?
I'm not a girl, so...
Well, I know, but if you were... Travis Teen? That wouldn't be a good name. Susie Travis?
No.
So if you were Susie Travis... But culturally, though, Travis, all seriousness.
Well, there is...
Heavy, older women. Is that what most people, even guys, talk about when they're talking about girls?
No.
But when they're by themselves, picking anything they want to watch, that's two of the top five categories. You're shaking your head
now. Not for me, but I mean,
well,
for other people, maybe. But
well, I mean, that's just numbers. I mean, that's analytics from a website. That's what it is. See, to me, I think that's powerful information. Because the younger girls that are always dieting and eating salads all the time, maybe they could loosen up on that just a little bit.
Yeah.
And enjoy life a little bit more instead of restricting their life to something that's not even real.
Well,
I mean, unless the girls like the skinny, young, big boob girls and what lesbians like, I don't know. But as far as guys, that's not what guys are showing. When there's no embarrassment or anything or people turning red like you are right now, none of that is involved. The two things that girls would never say is what girls want or guys want. Obviously, it is.
I'm not a lady and I don't know what they think, so I mean I don't know. But all I'm gonna say is it takes all kinds to make this world go round.
I totally agree.
There's a lot of people out there who like
this and
that. There's a movie out there called Grown Ups where like all three of them got like wives their age and that other fella got that old lady or something like that. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, it's a good movie. But anyway, I've always just said, you know, it's even for guys, you
and
know.
All of the friends were going, why are you with that old lady?
Yeah, exactly.
See?
Exactly. But, I mean, like, I've always even said, like, guys, you know, when I was in school, I thought every girl liked, you know, guys who worked out, you know, abs, big muscles and such. So what does, you know, young Travis do?
You go
boom, 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 you know, get in the weight room. But, I mean, you get to, you know, figuring out as you get older, not every girl likes the, you know, the workout thing. Some people don't care. Some people love it, you know.
What does our culture tell you, though, that a guy should look like?
Big, muscular.
Like he's Thor, right?
Yeah.
A girl should be
like a... Who's a famous model? Like a Victoria's Secret model.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of them, but like, yeah. But
well, see, you may not know this, Travis, but this was something else the analytics showed out. Back in the day, I'm talking 15 years ago, all the magazines, all that stuff, the women had one look. Lots of makeup, great big fake boobs, great big shoes. I mean... It was really funny when you look at it now. I mean, it was cartoonish of a woman.
Yeah.
That stuff, even though that's what the people in the industry thought guys wanted, they figured out they just want to look at an average girl.
Well, as you go down the line, you know, back in the day in like the 80s or 90s or something like that, didn't all the girls, like the young girls, have like big hair?
Yeah.
Nowadays, that was the style. Nowadays, if they do that, I mean, probably girls would be laughing at them saying, calm down, Fergie, you know.
Well, my mom, I've seen pictures of her when she was in high school. They used to wear their hair, it's like the Simpsons.
My God.
All the girls had hair. I don't know how they slept in it. It was like a great big beehive thing on top of their... I mean, all that's hair just spray. Cultural. Yeah.
Hairspray.
You know, but I guarantee you they were doing that because they thought that's what guys wanted.
Yeah. What about the guys? Were they all, like, be honest, did they all say, oh man, the ladies, they like the mullet, party in the back, you know, business in the front?
When I was in high school, pretty much, yeah.
Now, is that true? Because nowadays, if you get a mullet...
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, times just change. I mean, that goes back to the pendulum swing. You know, all the hippie clothes that are in now, that's because we're in about 1974 to 1976, and that's what was popular. In another 40 years, they'll be back in style. Mm-hmm.
My kid ain't
so gonna wear it. So you're about to experience the 80s, brother.
Nah, my kid ain't gonna wear it.
You're about to experience the 80s. You're going to start seeing girls wearing a lot brighter clothes, a lot of little legging things. They're getting pretty close.
They already have them legging things.
Go look at Madonna from the 80s, and you're going to look at that and go, nobody would ever wear that, and it's going to be everywhere in another 5 or 6 years.
Have you seen them ropers that them men are wearing?
I don't know what a
roper is. It's like a onesie for men.
That's a joke, dude. I showed that to Cindy. That was a joke.
No, there's like men out there wearing them.
Well, this is a joke.
No, they're into that kind of stuff. I think it's weird. I think it is absolutely.
Well, I mean, weird. I agree with you. I ain't wearing a onesie unless I was cold and I was going to be
Only onesies that I wear, and I don't even know if they're called onesies, is like coveralls.
Mm-hmm.
I wear coveralls, but that's just to keep me warm. I ain't wearing it for no fashion, that's for sure. Shoot.
But in all seriousness, people believe what they think they believe and they never think about it. I mean, like with the girls especially. Girls, and I know some that are younger, they're always tore up about their weight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're tore up about it.
Well, I mean...
And they're not even that big.
High school guys and even in their 20s, I mean, I'm not so much about it, but they always want to be bigger. They always want to, you know, put on more. I'm not really... That scared me. I'm not really into that, but, I mean... But
they were doing it because they thought that's what the girls wanted.
Yeah, either that or...
And when you get older and you talk to adult women, those really big muscle men is a massive turnoff for most women.
Mm-hmm.
But all guys younger think that's what girls want. So they try to emulate. They take the protein powders, and the creatine, and all that stuff, and they work out and they eat all these calories. And it's not, that's what I'm saying. We do things and think things because we never think.
Yeah.
If the younger women in America would realize that it's not that as important to men as culture tells them, they could enjoy life a little bit better.
Well, you know, I've always said, you know, I think it's important for, you know, a person to be happy with theirself, you know, and that's the biggest thing, you know, if they're happy with theirself.
But you say that. We all say that. But you were lifting weights.
Yeah, and I said the heck with that, you know, because it took up, you know, a little bit too much time, you know, when I would rather be doing something else. So.
Well, the joy of being my age is you finally figure out a lot of this stuff is just nonsense. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's like Dad. He don't care what people think of him anymore. Back in the day, he said he did.
Well, sure. I mean,
he had a mullet and everything, you know. But now he's like, you look back on yourself and you're like, you were really dumb.
Well, it was. It's quite embarrassing.
Yeah.
When you look back. Because you do what you think. This dude is not figuring out that I'm doing something else. So that was kind of my point. Think about, and that's what I wish more people would do. is not believed, just what you've been told. What's the USDA for? I don't know of anybody that would say, oh, they're there to get soldiers. They're there to produce soldiers.
That's for crazy. Who?
The politicians that never go to war. That's what the USDA...
That is kind of crazy, isn't it? Didn't know, what's-his-face dodged a draft or something like that? Well, it might have been the Bushes there. Or it could have been Bernie Sanders, I think that's who it was. Didn't he dodge the war or something like that?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, and that wouldn't surprise me.
It is kind of crazy how a lot of, you know.
But it's the same with Bernie Sanders or any of the people like him. They don't critically think about what they say. And the same thing on the Republicans. Very few Republicans critically think about what they say, but they all believe it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it'd be a better world if people would start thinking instead of just believing. And it's, with the internet, it ain't that hard to figure this stuff out anymore.
Yeah.
Because anybody can look up this letter. All I got to do is put in Joe Salatin, USDA letter military. That's how I just pulled it up in 5 minutes. Of course, I knew it was there. You know, it's... I don't know if I'd be taking your daughter to the porn site to look at analytics so she doesn't have to eat a salad. But, I mean, that would be, you know... Whatever, you know. I mean, it would just. I just think it'd be, if women actually knew it wasn't that as important, they'd just have a better life.
Yeah, but I mean, they're probably saying the same thing about us.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Guys don't have a clue what girls want. Girls don't have a clue what guys want, and it's because none of us ever talk because we're afraid we're going to be made fun of. So no one ever learns anything. So we're all running around like a bunch of crazy people.
You would
stuff
think,
is not necessary.
You would think, you know, after. So many years from Adam and Eve, you would think after so many years we'd finally, you know, okay, this is what they like. But no, we're just standing around here
because
running around.
People want to fit in, and if they think fitting in is starving themselves or going to the gym, they starve themselves and go to the gym.
Yeah.
And no one's ever going to... People just aren't honest. That's where the numbers come in that I think is important. Thinking about, are we living more today? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's a better life if you're really old and on a machine. I mean, that's not my judgment call on that. But when you look at those numbers and you look at them side by side, they're not even measuring the same thing. So how in the world is anybody saying that?
Yeah.
But the people who want to say that are politicians. They want you to believe that because of them and the medical field, they're the reason that you have a better life. So you must support them because of all the good stuff that they're doing.
In 40 years, you think the life expectancy will go up or down?
I think the keeping someone alive longer will go up.
I got you.
That's a lot different.
Yeah, that kind of makes you, you know, you look... In the future,
if you look at places like Japan, their lifestyle is so different.
If they're a bunch of weirdos out there.
Well, the city people are, but I'm talking about the rural people.
Yeah.
Not the city people, the rural people. They will live to be 90 and 100 years old, just like we do, and they're working the day before they die.
Yeah.
Not because they have to. That's just what they do. But that's what I'm saying.
I'll pass on that.
there's some difference there of why we're pretty much knocked out of doing anything except watching TV and wandering around a historical site somewhere when we're 70.
Yeah.
And they can go out and do what we couldn't do when we were 20. There's something there. That to me, that's a more interesting question. How come there's this big difference?
Probably on a bunch of dope or something.
No, they eat very healthy.
Hey, that...
We have don't.
You, have
Hello.
You seen? Have you seen what they eat over there? It looks like, you know, throw up. It don't look
Japan?
Right. Or like it's one of them people overseas. Like it's nasty. It's like I don't know how to explain it.
You're probably talking about curries in India, where it's kind of this yellowish.
Yeah,
look, that's curries from India.
Oh.
That stuff's delicious.
No.
Oh yeah.
I mean. According to my daddy, well, never mind, I can't say that.
And if he's never ate them, it's hard to have an opinion.
Yeah, I can't say that. But,
That's what you can't believe just because you've been told.
Well, I mean, I've tried, you know, a little bit of stuff like Japanese restaurants, dude. I ain't eating no rice. It looks like maggots. I went to that one down in Chattanooga where they cook in front of you, and like, I ate everything, you know, the steak and chicken and stuff, and I left the rest.
Well, I mean, that's your preference. I don't like rutabagas. I like a lot of other stuff.
I don't even know what that is. What's rutabagas?
It's kind of like a really bad-tasting, body-odored turnip to me. But some people really like them. There'll be someone listening to this show that's going, I love rutabagas. What's he talking about?
I don't like them things that you had me try.
But if you never tasted a rutabaga because I said I didn't like them, that's not smart.
That's like...
Just like believing in crap you don't know is not smart.
Well, there's some things that, you know, if it looks nasty, it's probably nasty.
Curry's delicious.
I don't know. I'll pass. Some of that stuff...
Chocolate-covered real crickets? They're delicious.
No, I ain't eating no cricket. I have, actually.
Cheeto-covered mealworms in Thailand are awesome. They're better than Cheetos. That ain't no joke. If I could buy them here, I'd be eating them.
I'd be calling you weird.
It's okay. See, no, but
I've ate a cricket before.
I've tried.
I lost a bet.
I've tried. And I know it. That's just the point. You can't believe what you think you believe unless you know why you believe it. And most people, and I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird in this. I want to know why I believe what I believe. Like, I believe in capitalism. And a lot of people believe in capitalism, but they can't tell you why. They believe in Trump, but they can't tell you why. It's just a feeling. Yeah. Feelings are stupid. You can get watery-eyed on a commercial. We all have. Your emotions ain't got no sense. I mean, you've got to be logical and critical thinking. That's all I'm trying to say.
I tell you what gets me watery-eyed, them St. Jude commercials, dude. You talking about, that gets me bad.
They're good. As far as marketing goes, they're really good.
I know, and that'll make you feel guilty. I mean, and like, it'll make you want to donate.
Have you?
Yes. I mean, I can't help it. But hey, I can tell you why I like Trap, though.
Okay.
Okay,
we're going to play a game before we finish up.
I
need an argument that you can back up with evidence.
About,
if it's not an argument that you can back up with elements, it's a feeling.
Huh?
So go ahead.
An argument
that you can back up with evidence. Like, guys, a lot of guys like fat girls. There's no shame in that, apparently, because they do. So that's, I've got proof. That's my.
Hey, that could be, like I said, there, you know, age, you know, that could be a little kid. It could be a 90-year-old lonely in the hospital
guy. I don't know.
You never know.
I don't know. But see, that my argument was women don't know what men want. My evidence is the numbers. So when you're going to tell me this about Trump, I need to know exactly what you're saying, and I need the evidence. So go.
On what? Like what topic?
You said you know why you like Trump.
I like Trump because... for one, he's a business guy. He's, you know, he's different. I know you said he's just like the rest of the politicians, but he's a different guy. You
okay.
know, I think he's there for the Americans.
He is a businessman. I'll give you that. Okay.
Well, like, and instead of like, I've never seen Barack Obama came to Chattanooga, Tennessee one time. Dadgum Trump's been to.
No. I need evidence on Trump, not Obama.
Well, Trump's been to Tennessee. Tennessee's been out to Chattanooga. He went to Knoxville.
So you like him because he came to Tennessee?
Well, you know, he's just...
I'm just asking. Well, I mean, is that the evidence that he came to Tennessee? So he's.
Well, I like him because, you know, he's wanting to build a wall. You know, we got to keep them immigrants out. You know, the illegals out.
So your evidence that he wants to build a wall is he says he wants to build a wall.
Yeah.
The evidence will be when he builds the wall.
He's going to. We're already doing the blueprint and everything, you know.
So you believe that, but there's no evidence for that yet.
Yeah, I believe it.
What's the evidence?
His word, I guess.
The word?
Well, you know, I don't know.
Do you believe me?
Yeah.
Do you know I've got six nipples?
Oh my God, no! I don't
believe me.
I'll tell you, if you now, do,
if I pulled up my shirt and just made you throw up in the floor, and you saw six nipples.
I don't want to see.
I trust me. Any nipples? You don't want to see. No, and I don't have six nipples. But my word is not evidence. So I'm waiting for evidence. So this is what I'm saying, Travis. Well, I can give you evidence of why I like Trump.
I like his opinions on stuff. And if some Democrats would let him do what he's going to do, hey, he would build the wall, you know, send the illegals back.
That's still borderline on feelings. Evidence. He put a conservative Supreme Court judge in.
Yeah. I was getting to that.
I like him for that. Evidence is he's definitely doing less regulation. I like that. See, that's evidence. There's no feeling in there whatsoever. The feeling is he really pisses off the liberals, and that makes my day every day.
Heck yeah.
But that's a feeling. I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, that, how can you not have, you know... Feeling is just part of, you know...
Yeah, but
how you look at things.
Feelings are easily manipulated, Travis. Easily. I can get you riled up.
Oh, yeah.
I can get you sad. I can get you happy. All these... I can motivate you. See, when it's strictly emotion off of feeling, people are easily manipulated to go a certain way. All the college kids are being, because of their feelings, they want the perfect world where there's never injustice and all this type of stuff. They're being manipulated by people because of that. Because there's no factual base of anything they want. They can't even define what they're trying to do.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen them... Like, they'll be talking about, why do you support Hillary Clinton? They're like, you know, they don't even know what she says.
That's what I'm saying.
At least I know what Trump says, you know. I might not know his, you know, everything, but, like, his evidence, but, you know.
But
I
you
like,
should.
I like his opinions on things.
But see, you're a more responsible person when you can have evidence for what you believe. So, because you're not easily manipulated. Now, see, because it could be, he's saying he wants to build a wall, but he doesn't. Let's just say he doesn't.
I don't know.
No, let me finish. But you believe him, so you support him. And then 3 years after he's out of presidency, you find out they've been taking down the wall the whole 4 years. See, without any evidence.
They ain't going to take down the wall.
Well, I mean, what's there now? They're taking it down. Yeah, if they were taking it down. See, it's easy to be manipulated. He says it. I believe him. I want it. He's my man, but until he starts actually, he hasn't done any evidence on that yet. So you're giving him credit for something he hadn't done.
Well, I mean, he's got the family jewels to, you know, say it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, he talks about immigration. That's evidence.
Yeah.
He wants to stop chain migration. That's evidence. He says that all the time. Good grief.
He's going to be mad at you. You know what you do? You talk in a different language. Hola.
No. I mean, I just can't answer everybody's phone calls, especially when I'm doing something like this.
I got you.
So, what's our plan this week as far as trying to think a little bit more about what we believe? What's our plan for that?
Not go off of emotion.
Do you think that's important?
Yeah, but I mean, it's extremely hard to do that. I mean, your emotion's just kind of who you are.
That's why politicians want you to always be emotional.
Yeah. Why in the world?
Play you like a fiddle.
Well, you know, honestly, I didn't really get into the election. I only really cared for Donald Trump because he was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. And then I actually listened to him and I was like, hey, this dude, he's got a point. You know, but I know you as a fan of other people and we'd have discussions all the time. Honestly, I didn't know a thing about him. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. That I like purely emotional.
I like Trump because he...
See, I'm gonna give a quick example as we close of why emotion is dangerous. Now, I don't want you to say the person's name. We both know somebody that works in the food stamp industry. And I've talked to a lot of people that she associates with inside of the food stamp industry. I've asked every one of them one single question. What percentage of people do you think that you give food stamps to, by the laws and regulations, need food stamps?
2%.
No, the highest was 80.
Huh?
I mean, 20%. Most of the workers think it's only between 10 and 5% actually need food stamps.
Yeah.
See, I've went and I've gathered evidence from people that see it every day. I've talked to those people. Why do you say that? Well, I mean, it's someone that has a union job. He's making $60 an hour last week. He volunteers to lay off so he can go hunting, and he's in here Monday morning getting food stamps. He don't need food stamps.
Yeah, that ain't right.
And they give example after example after example of that. They live on a 600-acre piece of property with a $2 million house. And now they're coming in for food stamps because of this, that, or the other. You know, you're like going, what? And then they're saying, then they tell me the people that really need it, they don't know how to lie. They come in because they really need help, so they hadn't figured out how to scam the system.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really get anything.
Yep.
That's what's going on. So when a liberal tells me that we need to make sure everybody, more people are on food stamps so everybody has food, I go, bullcrap.
Yeah.
I know better because I've talked to people. And if you talk to them about the food stamps, it's all what? Emotion.
Yeah. But now, I'm all for a helping hand and everything, but I don't like the handout.
Well,
that's pitiful.
Dude, I totally agree.
I mean, that kind of makes me mad how, like, somebody's owning a big old piece of land and got a big house, and I may offend some people out there, but if you're on food stamps, now, if you need them, like, let's say you lost your job or something, you're in need, I'm all for that, but if you're just trying to scam the system, you have a problem.
Well, most people, from people that are in the industry, will tell you most people get food stamps because they don't want to spend what they consider their money on food.
Well, I starve then.
Well, you know? I mean, I agree with you. But see, because I've talked to them, there's no way you can pull over wool over my eyes about food stamps being this great, glorious, non-fraud system. Even the people in the system are, like, disgusted.
Yeah.
But our culture, if you bring up we need to control food stamps, what do you think would happen to a politician? They'd castrate him on stage.
Yeah. Unless it's Donald Trump, because he said a bunch of things and they never did do anything.
He never went towards food stamps.
Well, if I ever run for office, which is not going to happen, I'm going to do it just to, you know, make some people mad. I think it'd be pretty funny. I might get some votes.
What are you going to run for so I get everybody to vote for you?
Well, hey, if I'm going to run, I'm going to go big and
So president. Travis for president.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen, though. I don't want to do that.
Y'all heard him. Travis.
No.
Travis for president.
Nope.